Welcome. I want to greet you all in the precious name of Jesus. We say that pretty glibly, but if it wasn't for Jesus' death and resurrection, we would have nothing in common as Christians. It's beautiful. I think about Jesus' death and resurrection a lot, but especially coming into this time of the year, it in springtime, and you know, we're coming out of winter, everything is dead and brown, and the grass starts to green up, the flowers start to poke their heads out. To me, this is my favorite time of the year. I enjoy fall too. I enjoy the fall colors and all that, but I enjoy spring and fall. But, you know, without the one, we couldn't have the other, you know. Without life, there couldn't be death. Without death, we couldn't have life. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. I'd like to talk about that whole law of dying to get life. It's something we can't get away from. Just like we sow and we reap. It's a principle that's very clear in the scriptures. And I, as I was looking at this week, I realized that every gospel mentions this concept several times. At least most of them mention it several times. Some of them might only mention it once or twice, but some of the verses I'm going to read, every gospel has these verses in it. Let's turn to John 12, 23. This is not necessarily... John says it a little different than most of the other ones say it. But the whole concept I'm talking about this morning is dying so we can have life. Jesus died to give us life. But not only did he die, he resurrected again. And often, our new life comes from us dying. But if we never die, we can't have new life. And we're like, how does dying bring life? This is how, right here. Starting in verse, John chapter 12, starting in verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. But for this cause I came unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it. I will glorify it again. Here Jesus made some profound statements. He knew that his hour was come. He knew that he was going to die. But he also knew this principle of a corn of wheat falling into the ground and dying. It would abide alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And we all know that principle. It's a natural principle. If you sow, put a potato in the ground, if you put a piece of corn in the ground, if you put a piece of wheat in the ground, what happens, children? If you put a potato in the ground, what happens? Have you ever dug that potato up after a while and looked at it? Maybe before it started shooting, you're like, is that potato still in here? And you go digging. Have you ever done that? What do you find? Anybody tell me? You found a potato? Yeah, but is the potato the same that you put it in the ground? Many times it's not. What's happening to it? It's rotten, right? Many times you go digging and all of a sudden, ooh, you find this mushy little thing with a sprout on it, right? That potato has to die. It has to go to nothing. If you dig later, when that sprout is there, you won't even see the potato. The potato is gone that you put in the ground. It goes back to the earth. But what comes out of that? Life comes out. And when you dig that potato up later, when the stalk starts to die, what do you find? Any of your children can tell me? What do you find under that potato stalk? Can you tell? More potatoes. And usually, is it one potato? No, usually it's like 5 or 6 or 7 potatoes, right? That's right. That one potato. And usually, that one piece of potato was just a piece of a potato. We cut our potatoes and make them all have an eye on it, and then we put them in the ground. That piece of potato can make you 5, 6, or 7 potatoes. But if that potato decided, I want to stay whole and I don't want to rot, would you get any potatoes off of that? No, you wouldn't get any potatoes off of that. If that doesn't shrivel up and deteriorate, you wouldn't get any potatoes off of that. That's what Jesus is saying here. It would, if that potato doesn't rot in the ground, it won't bring forth fruit. It just stays there alone. Nobody ever knows about it again. It's there all alone. But if it dies and rots, it can spring forth life and bring forth much more life. And Jesus knew that principle. God, I was pondering this. You know, Jesus is our example, and we say that glibly. So many of these things we know, and we say, Jesus is our example, but he left the splendors of glory. He left his heavenly Father. Him and his Father were one. He left all that and came down here to this sin-cursed earth to die on a cross. Not only die, but he lived here on this earth as an example. He became human flesh. He lived and he died. But not only did he die, he resurrected again to give us new life. Let's turn over to Matthew 16. I'm not going to look at all these scriptures this morning. I'm just going to look at these two, and then we're going to draw some parallels in our lives today. Matthew 16 here says it a little different way. And this is the way many of the scriptures in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John say it. And it says this. These verses are in Matthew 16. They're in Matthew 10. They're in Luke 17. They're in Luke 9. They're in Mark 8. All these scriptures, we have the same, some of these same scriptures. And I'm going to pull out the scripture and then I'm going to read the whole context. But it says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And that's the verse I'm focusing on this morning. It's the same, basically. John just said it a little different way, but it's the same thing that John said. But that verse is in Mark, Matthew. It's in earlier in Matthew. It's a lot of places. And it's very interesting to me. If something is repeated and repeated, I think it's there repeated for us to take notice to. Every one of the Gospels recorded this scripture at least once. Most of them recorded it twice. I'd say we better take note to it, brothers and sisters. Let's back up and start reading in verse 20 and read to the end of the chapter. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. For that time forth began Jesus to show unto the disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned unto Peter, Get thou behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This whole principle of saving our lives and losing it, and losing our lives to save it, is huge. It's something that we face. We face it whenever we get born again, many of us. This week, Marcus and I was out in Illinois at the CAS meeting, visiting with and getting to know some of the other brothers from Midwest churches here. And we started out, many of us didn't know each other, and we started out by everyone sharing their testimonies. And I think all of those men, except for two, were from Amish background. And something that came through in every one of their testimonies, especially the ones from Amish background, was the fear of men. With their religion and their form, you know, many of them wrestled with the whole thing. They were good people. They were looked up to in their communities. But when the Spirit of God came upon them and they saw the sinfulness of their hearts, and they saw that without Christ, being a good Amish wasn't going to save them. Just having a good religion wasn't enough. But they had to wrestle. This means we could get excommunicated. This means we could be in the ban. This means that we could, our testimony, some of them had outstanding testimonies in the community. They were good Amish. It means that that all went away. It means that some of them would have to drive 50 miles to buy the same thing they could buy 5 minutes from their house, because the other Amish wouldn't sell it to them. It meant that some of them could not go to family gatherings. That was the cost they had to pay. You know, each one of us, when we come to Christ, I believe each one of us have a cost. Some of us greater, some of us less. But many times, in that moment of surrendering to Christ, some of those things have to be surrendered. And you know, sometimes not all those things are surrendered at that point when we give our hearts to Christ. Sometimes we accept Jesus, we say, God, I want to follow you, and we don't see what that looks like. And then Jesus comes knocking on our door and says, what about this in your life? What about this area in your life? And you know, that's a continual thing. Some of us face a lot when we get born again, and then we continue to face things. But some people, as we travel this road of life, Jesus says, lovest thou me? He looked at Peter, and Peter wanted to follow Jesus. He was very zealous. He was so zealous here that he says, Jesus, stop talking to us about your death. This ain't going to happen. We're not going to let it happen. What did Jesus say? Get thou behind me, Satan. You know, many times As we choose to follow Jesus, there's going to be people in our lives, well-meaning people, people that we love, that say, oh, come on. You can be a Christian without doing that. You can be a Christian and not go that far. Come on. You can be, young people, you can be a Christian and listen to that music. You don't have to give up that music. But it gets very personal. Jesus comes and knocks on our heart's door and says, what about this music you're listening to? It's not drawing you closer to me. Will you give it up for me? It's not just music. It's many things. You put the label on it. We all have those things in our lives that Jesus comes and says, will you die to this? Will you die to this? So that my life can live through you. But many of us don't see the life part. We just see the dying part. And I was pondering this, and I realized some of us say, well, dying is agony many times. Jesus pleaded with his Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Even Jesus went through the agony. It wasn't easy. Dying isn't going to be easy. I had to think of what Marcus shared with us last Sunday. We need to choose our heart. Dying isn't easy. But the beauty that comes from dying is what we need to realize. It's a law that can't be, that's just there. Just like the law of gravity. Here on earth, the law of gravity pulls us down. One of my coworkers the other day slipped and twisted his ankle real bad, and it made me realize how quick the law of gravity can mess with our bodies. He almost passed out on me. And, you know, the law of gravity affects us every day. The law of dying and living affects us every day. If we choose to hang on to those things that Jesus says, let go of, we will die. We will die. But it's not the death that brings life. It's the death that brings death. But if we surrender and deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus, it brings life, not only to us, but all those around us. Amen. And that's what we need to realize, that the same way as we gain life from dying, so does those around us. It's a principle, brothers and sisters. And you know, you might say, well, I'm following Jesus and I want to live for Jesus, but I want to be comfortable. And I believe we all. None of us enjoy conflict. None of us enjoy discomforts of life. But I believe that every personal revival in our life comes out of us dying to something. Us surrendering. We use different words for this. We use surrender. We use giving up. There's different things that we use. But as we surrender to Jesus and say yes to his will, then we can have his life flowing through us, but only then. And I just share that as an encouragement to each one of us. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you faced this week. I know what I faced. I've known the things that God has spoken to my heart about. But I believe that we need to understand that we can choose The other thing about this dying is it's something that we have to do willingly. Jesus willingly went to the cross. We have to willingly give up. We will have to willingly surrender. Jesus says at one place, you can fall on the rock and be broken, or the rock can fall on you and crush you. The outcome of those two is very different. If we fall on the rock and are surrendered to Jesus, life can come out of that. And you know, it's beautiful. As we go along in our Christian lives and raise our families, we're faced with many challenges and many things. And we're often tempted to... I remember when I was in Africa, one of the missionaries said they often have people come and say, how can you raise a family? Some of them were young families at that time. How can you take your children to Africa? They might die to malaria. How can you do that? How can you subject your children to these things? You know, living here in America, our children are subjected to a lot of things that can hurt them. It might not be malaria, but there's many other things, especially in the world and day and age we live. I believe that the most important thing is to be surrendered to Christ and to be following in His footsteps and how He is leading us. That's the safest place we can be. It's not going to Africa. It's not whatever it is. You fill in the blank. It is being surrendered to Jesus and following in what He is showing us. That is the safest place to be. And it is the place where we will grow and bring forth life. May God bless.